If you'd open your Bible to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17, verse 10, let's pray. Father, we're just calling you right now and ask you for mercy where we've held back and not surrendered all. Lord, we ask you to deal with each of us, Lord, that we would be willing to just give you everything and not hold back with anything. We want you to be our life. And Lord, we love you and we need you. We need more of you. And Lord, we do thank you for your kindness and your willingness to forgive us. We ask you to bless each of us with your word this night. Amen. He speaks to his disciples here, and I'm not going to read everything he says, but he finishes saying, "So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." He's talking about the servant, that when he's done with his chores, he's not over there bragging about, you know, how great a servant he is, because he actually did his chores. And he says, you do the same thing. When you've done all that was commanded of you. Have you done everything that's been commanded of you? Have you done everything you've been commanded to do? Or there's still one more commandment. Say, we are unprofitable servants. When you've done it all, say, we're unprofitable. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, the reason why I read that is because I don't want you thinking anything else by the time I'm done with what I got to preach. I want you to keep that in mind, that whether we've done everything or not, we are still unprofitable servants. There's no room for pride in this. Okay? God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. There's no room for pride here. Okay? Now, we're talking about commandments here, and it's obvious we're not saved by keeping commandments, but you see, right after verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 2, let's go ahead and read verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses very well known. Verse 10 isn't always very well known though. Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Good works. Where do they come in? They have nothing to do with salvation. They come in after salvation. Amen. Now everyone here that's been saved, this is what we've been saved for. Good works. Flip over to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. See, we got a duty to do. And it happens to be good works. And the ones that God has put for us to do. And here, he kind of tells us how he wants us doing those works. It says in verse 14, who gave himself, talking about Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous. Are you zealous? I mean, do you really got a drive, a desire to get some good works done? Zealous of good works. You know, I've heard people talking about the youth, you know, the young people, they're kind of, what do you call it, youthful zealousness, you know, and they kind of talk down about it. And these youth, they're so zealous, but they got their heads on crooked and they don't know what's going on. Well, you see, zeal, this youthful zeal that they're kind of putting down isn't a bad thing if you put it in the right area. And that's why he says in Galatians 4, verse 18, go ahead and read that so I don't misquote it. Galatians 4, verse 18, "But it is good to be zealously affected always." Did you catch that? Always. But what? In a good thing. Now, I know some people are pretty zealous about everything and all the time, but not always in a good thing. But he makes it pretty specific what he's talking about. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. It's good. Don't let anybody put you down because you're being zealous for the Lord. Don't let them deceive you and make you actually feel like, I'm wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. Remember, you're an unprofitable servant. You keep that in mind and you just keep on doing what he said to do. Amen. Whether people say, that's pride, man. You're just too zealous and too proudful. Well, hey, if you remember you're an unprofitable servant, there's no pride there. Zealously affected. Always. Always. Consider that. Always. You know, I am not zealously affected always. Now, there are times I really get zealous. And I don't care what's going on. I couldn't believe it the other day. I was having a meeting and a bunch of people started showing up. And They had their images there, and I figured, well, if we have the Lord's Supper here, it's going to be kind of awkward because all these people gathering around. So let's just have an open meeting. And the next thing I knew, I was standing up, and I didn't know where to turn the scriptures, but I just started flipping, and I ended up popping into a verse, and I started going, and all of a sudden, man, this deal came out of me, and I started going to town. And some people started getting a little upset, but most of them basically stood around and watched, and then they kept going with their procession. But it should be zealous always, not just every so often, always. Zealously affected always in a good thing.
Amen.
You know, the rest of that verse there makes it very clear, and not only when I am present with you. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's very easy for me to be zealous when I got someone else with me who's zealous. You know, I like Brian here, give me a bucket of ice water, I'll charge hell. Well, give me two of them and I'll go with you. You know, it's not so bad when you got somebody there with you, but how about when you're by yourself? You know, when you're downtown preaching and the brethren are with you, you know, you kind of encourage because, hey, man, there's somebody with me, man, let's go get something done for the Lord, you know, and you're zealous and you're wanting to do something. But when you're back at the job again and you're the only one there and everybody else already knows you're a Christian and they're always heckling and giving you a hard time, are you still zealous? When you're by yourself, zealous always and a good thing. Zealous. You know, we need some zeal, some real zeal where we're always zealous to do what's right, to do what's good, what's pleasing to the Lord. Not only when we're here gathered together. Yeah, even when you're at home with the family or out doing your grocery shopping, zealous always and a good thing. Keep your mind on the Lord and be zealous to do what's pleasing to Him. Let's go down to Numbers. I want to give you a few examples of ones we can follow this time. Not as some examples like the last time that you'd be better off if you just did it right the first time. But let's go to Numbers chapter 25. John was basically telling you the context of this scripture here. And what came down was Israel fell. Just like John was saying, that Balaam came along and told Balak what to do, and that's exactly what Balak did. He started sending the women down there and the girls to marry with the guys and to get their idols down there and to get them people worshiping the other idols. And in chapter 25, you find that things were going pretty bad for the camp there, Israel. Verse 11 is right after Phinehas does something. See, the people were marrying with the other people that they weren't supposed to be marrying with. You remember, like, you know, what Samson had done. That's what they were doing. And the Lord told Moses, get all these guys that have done that and kill them. And, well, that's what Moses told the elders to do. Get all these guys that had gone off with the other women and going to kill them. And Moses and the other, Aaron and the others were all weeping before the Lord. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with weeping before the Lord over sin. We ought to be a little more conscious of our wickedness and confess it to the Lord and weep about it, you know, and don't just, you know, like it's nothing. And these guys were busy weeping before the Lord, asking for mercy, asking that they wouldn't be destroyed as the plague was coming on them. But Phinehas, he got a little bit zealous, very zealous. Why? For the Lord. And because of his zealousness, it says here in verse 11, verse 10 better said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. This guy was zealous. You know, he didn't, I'm going to put a stop to this, man. I ain't going to put up with this. This is enough. And we're asking the Lord for mercy, but here this guy right in front of us, walking over here and doing exactly what the Lord's bringing this curse on us for. He says, that's enough of that. I'm going to put a stop to it. He got up and kills the guy. He got up and killed the guy and the lady. And the Lord saw the zealousness in him and said, okay, I won't destroy all of you because of him. And not just that, but look what he gave him. Everlasting priesthood, a covenant of peace. Brethren, a covenant of peace. Now, wouldn't you like to have a covenant of peace with the Lord where, hey, you got peace now? whatever happens, you got peace because the Lord gave it to you. And I don't mean just, you know, peace of mind, because see, this world's full of all kinds of tribulations and trials and everything that are always trying to steal our peace. But look at this blessing he gave him. A covenant of peace. Why? He was zealous. He was zealous for God. And he wasn't just going to pray for mercy, but he was going to put a stop to the sin. Brethren, we need to be zealous against sin. Zealous against wickedness. Zealous against our own sin. Zealous to the point of, that's it. I'm not going to keep doing this. No! That's all there is to it. You know, I always see these t-shirts, you know, say no to drugs and stuff like that. Dare to say no. That's about all there is to it. No. I'm not going to keep doing that. No. No. No! Come to the point where no means no, and if, you know, there's no misunderstanding what no means. Get to the point where you decide, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to serve my flesh. I'll put a no in between there, and that's it. It's dead. It's killed. Let's get zealous about serving God. Let's get zealous about doing what's right. Let's do some of these good works that He's set before us to do. Let's go on to Jesus Christ himself. There in John chapter 2. He goes to the temple and what does he find? Everybody's doing everything but worshiping God like they should. They're in there selling animals, exchanging money. And he gets in there and he says, the zeal of thine house hath consumed me. Chapter 2 verse 17. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The zeal of thine house. Are we zealous about the church? Like Arlene just mentioned, like John was saying, people that like to go to church? Are we zealous about, hey man, it's almost time, what are we doing? Let's get there! You know, it's kind of funny, one of my girls was saying, let's get there 45 minutes early. Alright, let's try. 45 minutes early. Nobody's gonna be there, but hey man, some zeal. Let's get there, man. Let's go have some fun with the brethren instead of, you know, just moping around with the world here, you know? Amen. Zealous. Zealous about the church, about the brethren, about being with the people. You know, it is really a blessing to have somebody that really wants to be there. And you show up to church, whoa, man, I'm 30 minutes early. He's been waiting for us, you know? And afterwards, not everybody's running out the door to leave, but they're sticking around to get some more, man. Let's get some drippings from what's left over, you know? And have a good time in the Lord. They just want to be with the brethren, want to see the church, want to be together. Some zealousness about the church itself, man. Let's see it grow. Let's see it mature. Let's see some Lord working, some good works in between all of us. You know, why does he say, you know, not forsaking the assembling? Because we need to be exhorted to do good works. We need to exhort it. Exhorting one another to be zealously affected towards the Lord, to do the good works he wants of us. Colossians. Got a brother in Colossians here, chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras. This guy was zealous about the brethren. And Paul says here about him, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them of, oh boy, Hierapolis. This guy had a great zeal. And this is some other guy talking about this guy's great zeal. And you know, he says here that Epaphras, who is one of you. So I take it Epaphras, he left the church to go preaching with Paul, to go accompany Paul preaching the word. And he says here that this guy, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. You know, to me it's always a blessing when I hear or know that somebody's been praying for me. And I still remember one time this one person told me that they ran into me, what are you doing here, man? I was praying for you thinking you was down there in Mexico. Oops, I was wrong place. I should have been there then, man. I missed out on those blessings. But just to know that somebody's praying, you know, and then to hear from somewhere else that, yeah, man, they've been praying for you. Oh, really? Wow, great. And here Paul, he's telling him, man, this guy laboring fervently for you in prayers. Amen. Now check this out. Laboring. You know, when you talk about labor, you always think of physical, you know, like a carpenter or I always think of carpenter because that's what I used to do. you know, welder and all these other type of, you know, where you actually got to pick something up and carry it somewhere else, you know, where it takes some effort and you actually worn out physically at the end of the day, you know, that kind of labor, that's what you think about. This guy labored in prayer. Labored in prayer. Have you ever been worn out physically just because you were praying so much? Well, this guy labored fervently, not just, you know, getting by, but fervently, man. This guy wasn't no slough on the job, and he was fervent about his prayers, and he labored praying for them, and he says, always. I get the feeling that every time these guys were praying, this guy was always mentioned in these other churches and praying for him. Brethren, this guy was zealous. He had a great zeal, perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, it's very easy to go losing your zeal. It's very easy. Because, you know, zeal kind of is the thing that kind of zips past, I suppose, and gets you going, and after a while it starts running low. And that's why we need to be encouraged on a continual basis. But, you know, we need to be zealous always. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready to go, ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many. Now, what's this talking about? Ministering to the saints. And just as he says here to them, I think I don't really need to waste a whole lot of time telling you about this, because I actually think you guys do a pretty much like them when it comes to ministering to the saints. But you see, you could lose that. So don't let your mind run with you thinking, oh boy, we are actually doing something here. Remember, you've only done your duty. Amen. You're an unprofitable servant. You've done your duty though. Hey, but what does he say there? Your zeal hath provoked very many. Hey, are you provoking others to be zealous about ministering to the saints? Because you guys do it? You know, I kind of think maybe so. Brian was, I heard him, you know, I'm listening in on these guys while they're talking. And he's talking about this church over in California where his brother's going, and they want to find out what's going on here. Why? Because they've heard about the zeal that this church has, ministering to the saints, sending out saints to preach the word in other countries. And they want to know what's going on. I want to know, I want to in on this, man. I want to do something like that too, man. You know, they're provoked by the zeal, and they see that, man, this is something to, hey, give me an example to follow, man. I'm going for it. Have we been a good example? We need to continue to be a good example. Your zeal hath provoked very many. There's other churches, even that one there in León there. They've felt provoked to send missionaries to another city. Why? Because this church did it. They saw the example. And they were provoked. Yeah, them guys got some zeal. Look how many families they sent down here. And they tell us they're way smaller than us. Man, what's going on with us? We need to get a move on. And they got some zeal into, let's send these guys off too that are the Lord's calling to go. They've been affected by your zeal. Don't lose your zeal. Be zealous always in a good thing. Don't spend your time being zealous in the things that aren't worth your trouble or your time. Be zealous in a good thing.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 15. Christ talking to the church of Laodicea. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's pretty hard words. And you know, there's certain areas in our lives where we are lukewarm. Every single one of us here is guilty of it somewhere in our life. We need to be zealous. Zealous. Let's jump down to 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Don't continue being dried up thinking, I just let it go. No, and repent. Get it right. Don't let it keep the same road. It doesn't get better if you keep going the same way. You just get further and further from the mark or the where you're trying to get to. Repent. What did Phinehas do? He didn't only just weep there. Oh yeah, he was there weeping. But when he saw a man right in front of everybody, these guys are going to do this? No, man. That's why everything's going wrong. I'm going to put a stop to it now. I'm going to repent of this. And I'm going to do what God says to do without waiting around to see what everybody else is going to do. Be zealous always in a good thing, and that is good. It's very clear what it says. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Brethren, if you find somewhere in your life All you got to do is look a little bit, and you'll find somewhere where you've been slothful, lazy, not very zealous at all in your service towards your master. It's time to repent. It's time to, that's it. No, I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm going to put a stop to it, and I'm actually going to go back and remember the first works, and I'm going to do what I used to do when I wasn't so dead and dried up as I am, and when I was more zealous, and when I had, yeah, that youthful zeal, yeah, and I tried to serve God with all my heart, I'm going for that and more. Don't stop. Zealously affected always. Brethren, we need that zeal. That zeal affects others, and it causes others to be zealously affected also. Brethren, not just in one thing, in all things in our life, when it's talking about what's good, not in our sin, no, we don't need to be zealous about that. On the contrary, what's right, what's good, zealously affected always. Brethren, we need the zeal. We need the desire, the drive, the Lord's life, the Lord's strength in our lives so that others can see our zeal for our God. We can look out and we can see the zeal these people have for their images, for their religions. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses, you can see their zeal. Man, they're out there. I saw some just this morning knocking on doors trying to win their way to heaven. Or not to heaven, to live here on this earth for eternity. Why are we going to let our zeal run down? Why? We need to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Brethren, it's good to be zealously affected, but don't do it ignorantly. Just real quick, chapter 10 of Romans. The reason why people talk down about the youthful zeal is because it usually is with ignorance. Chapter 10 of Romans, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You know, knowledge does puff up. And I think that's probably one of our problems. Once we get a little bit of knowledge, we get puffed up and we lose our zeal. We need to be zealously affected always in a good thing, but according to knowledge, according to what the word of the Lord says, and not like some of the crazy things I've done or others have done when we were young, just jump out and let's go. I remember we were a little bit on the zealous side and we got together. Man, it's raining. Where can we go and just be together and pray? Well, I remember back in Catholic Church, they always leave the doors open. So here we go, man, we'll jump inside there and we have a prayer meeting. I mean, you know, some things are a little crazy. I'm not advising you to do some of these crazy things, but hey, where's the zeal? Have we lost it? I mean, you look back and say, those things are crazy. And they were a little zealous too, man. And I think the Lord heard some of them prayers, even though, because you got to remember, man, the Lord doesn't dwell in these temples made of man's hands. He dwells in temples that He has made, which has been you and me, the ones that have received Christ in our hearts. And He was there. He heard our prayers. Where we were made no difference to Him because it was our heart, our zeal for Him, our desire to come to Him and pray and to bring our petitions before His throne. Brethren, don't lose the zeal. Keep it. And keep it according to knowledge. Amen. Amen.